listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Gary Riley.
Welcome along. It's Series 10, Episode 13 of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. You're with Kieran Burke and Gary Riley. We're brought to you by our sponsor, Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. We're looking forward to seeing Anthony on the bank holiday Monday for another El Clasico. Well, we're also brought to you in association with our charity bet partners, and that is Bar One Betting. Gary, how are you getting on?
Pretty good, Kieran. Not too bad at all. Fresh off a great 3 points for Longford Town, which was well needed, but good to get it in the end. Looking forward to the bank holiday as well.
Yeah, lots of football to come over the next few days. We're recording fairly late this Tuesday night, ticket towards midnight. But look, we're putting in the hard yards. But I have to say, I know you didn't catch much of it yourself. I am very much energised after watching possibly one of the best games of football I've ever seen between PSG and Bayern Munich. Absolutely incredible game of football.
And you were down at them four trees down in Cove. About 12 or 13 years ago. I wasn't at either of those. I was expanding my horizons on a couple of J1s at the time, but I remember watching refreshing extratime.ie to get the latest updates. But yeah, sounds like it was a good game, all right.
Unbelievable. It actually links in nicely with a discussion I was going to have with you on the pod tonight. I was scrolling through socials today, having just a look at different League of Ireland content. Came across an RTE article. They were carrying some quotes from Alan Cawley. Now, I'm very much paraphrasing here. I don't have it in front of me. I'm not prepared as usual. But he was saying that he's very concerned about the standard of the league and the quality of the league this season, particularly the technical ability of some teams. He feels that there's only maybe one or two teams that are showing up every week. And he was saying, you know, it was great that we had a great game recently between Bows and Rovers on the telly, but it's not enough that we're only getting a game like that every now and again. What's your thoughts? I know we kind of have this discussion every year. Where's the standard? What's the standard at?
Yeah.
How early enough into the season, but we've seen enough of every team now, I suppose, to have a good handle on it. Where is the standard this season?
I'd be almost leaning to agree with Alan. I have been impressed. Is there any standout? We'll say just even as a easy question, is there a standout player that is taking over the league this year?
Cian Levy.
Has he really? No, I don't think so. I taken over the league. There's no one has done that.
Maybe not taking over the league, but I remember you've often said it on this pod that there's very few players now in the league or anywhere that you'd pay specifically to watch that gets you excited, because they're all kind of coached out of them now. Whereas Levy is a joy to watch.
So it's not coached out of him?
No.
I don't.
In fact, he's improved this season, because we talked about Levy a lot last season, that you could see, he's an unbelievable ball carrier and trickery and everything. Final decision and end product wasn't there, whereas he's starting to get that into his game now.
Yeah, that's fair. And look, he's in a team that's running well at the moment. So as you know, players are, I know he's features in St. Pat's improvement this year, but it's not all down to everybody. He's been carried and he just looks better because Pats are doing better, but he contributes to that significantly, particularly in his position in the team. But I'm not entirely sure I'd agree with Cian Levy. He is probably one of the top performers in the division, but he's not who's the top scorer this season in the Premier Division?
Do you know? I'll tell you now.
I think Colin Whelan has six. A few of those were penalties.
Colin Whelan and Ryan Edmondson are on six.
Edmondson. Yeah. So, but I think most of Edmondson's goals, if not all of them, were from play. Michael Duffy has 5 goals. What was the last time he played? 3 or 4 weeks ago, maybe more. You know, it's just a bit. Like Chris Wardick has 5 for Galway. He's probably been in.
He's not starting every game.
No, he's not. But like he's really contributed to Galway's success early on this season. John Martin has 5.
So does Harry Wood.
And Harry Wood, like, you know, which is actually crazy considering where they are on the table. I haven't read the article. The first time hearing about it, as you mentioned in this article of 3 or 4 minutes ago. But is it down? Is Alan's position that the feeling, or his feeling, is that there hasn't been enough humdingers of games?
Yeah. He was concerned about entertainment value, which I'm not sure about. As I said, Bowes Rovers last week was a belter. Didn't see much of the Pats Bowes game this week now, but
I saw a bit of it on Friday, and I was quite impressed with Pats. Unfortunately, Bowes are filling the togs and making a bollocks out of me as well. So yeah, I can't remember the last time they won.
You're on the Bowes, very much on the Bowes train a few podcasts ago. The brakes have very much grinded that Bowes train to a halt.
Oh yeah, no, it's come off the tracks altogether. In fact,
I suppose that was a real snapshot of their season the other day. You know, off to an absolute flyer. What, 7 seconds in or 8 seconds in, they take the lead, and then it falls to shreds after that. So that kind of
falls to shite, and badly falls to shite, really.
But just to stay on track with this discussion point here at the top of the show, like, how do you gauge standard? Last season, we got 2 teams into the group stages of Europe. But we didn't really have much of a title race. Whereas this season, I think it's already starting to develop into a 2-horse race between Pats and Rovers. If that went down to the last day of the season and there was a point between them or goal difference, and we have an absolute humdinger of a title race like we had with Shells and Rovers a couple of years ago, you know, are we going to review the season in a different light come the end of it and say, oh, that was a you know, a real vintage season?
But what
are you gauging on in terms of, Alan was talking about entertainment value. There's been some really good games. Think of even Galway Waterford 4-3. I've been at a couple of really exciting Dundalk games this season. Dundalk won 3-2 up in Tolka. Like, Shells have been obviously in loads of high scoring games, including a 4-3 just the other night. So I think there has been plenty of entertainment value.
I think there absolutely has. Like, if you're getting into quality, you know, you can't. I don't think you can measure that in title race or anything like that. That's really down to more individual and team performances. When you get into a quality stage, like, you don't look at a table and go, this must be a real high quality league because there's 5 teams in and around winning the division. I wouldn't fully subscribe to Alan's idea there, even though I would. From a technical perspective, possibly, you know, there is maybe a bit lower on quality, but for entertainment, I don't agree.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't agree either. I suppose the other way of looking at it too is what teams have kicked on from last year and what teams haven't. Pats obviously have. I think Rovers, a lot of people feel Rovers haven't been anywhere near their best, but they're up there in second. Dundalk obviously have been a huge addition to the league. Both started well, but have dropped off. Derry have been very underwhelming. Galway have been a surprise package. Sligo have done well. Shells, obviously, the big, big disappointment. Drogheda have dropped off, and Waterford have been a bit of a disaster. So again, it's a mixed bag there, really. It's as I said, it's very hard to gauge. Like, what is standard? What are we actually talking about?
Yeah, well, that's it. But that's all, you know, how you feel and how you want the game to be played, or you want whatever you want out of a game. Like, if you want a slugfest with no defensive quality, or, you know what I mean, you just want 2 teams just standing in front of each other, loafing each other every few minutes.
Well, that's what we got tonight between PSG and Bayern. And Kenny Cunningham wasn't impressed. He said afterwards on Premier Sports, you can't describe that as being a good game given the defending. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Couldn't believe it.
Yeah, but, like, you know, if you're a man that wants that likes defending or whatever, you know, you'd be losing your mind at some of this stuff. And I haven't seen one goal, and I couldn't give a shit either. But you know, there's probably a load of bad mistakes. I think there's a couple of penalties in that game as well, wasn't there?
One of them was an absolute joke. VAR joke.
All right, okay.
Thank God we don't have that in this league.
Yeah. But like, you know, that's all it, look, it all adds up to, you know, an entertaining conversation, more talking points, more interesting stuff. If you're having a cup of tea in the office in the morning, you know, oh, did you see that last night? What was the ref thinking? All that shit talk that goes on, it all helps the situation. But yeah, like, look, I think,
look, obviously,
it's very hard to gauge.
Very hard to gauge. And I was just going to say, me and you aren't necessarily at Premier Division games every week. I know you pop to a few in Dublin every so often. I obviously go to a lot of Dundalk and Drogheda games, so I do get to see, I think, just having a look, who have I seen? Probably haven't seen as many teams as I would just like yet, but I'll get around to them all hopefully at some stage this season. But
I need UCD promoted is what I need.
Yeah.
You know, that was great crack.
Yeah. But what I was going to say is maybe we'll throw this open to the listeners. And well, again, we're watching games on the telly every week too, so we're definitely keeping on top of it. But maybe throw it open to some of our Premier Division listeners and see what their feeling is on the standard. But again, are you going to kind of be looking at it through your own club's glasses? Like a Waterford fan is probably going to say that the standard is atrocious, and a Dundalk fan will probably say that the standard's very, very good. So,
but also that Waterford fan could easily say the standard's unbelievable because they're filling in every week. Yeah. So, like, you know, it's all just like how, the way you perceive the stuff. So, I wouldn't be looking too deeply into it. Like, you get what you want out of it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've often, you know, you have a long week of work or a long day or whatever, and like, you know, if Messi came in to talk to you about football, you'd tell him to piss off. Like, so like, if you're just in bad form or whatever, you could be watching a good game and, or everybody's a bollocks in front of you. You know what I mean? It's just all, it's all the one, like, it's all just how you look at stuff as well.
You can break up stats whatever way you want to. So it's very much a subjective matter, I suppose. Yeah. Look, we'll talk about some of the games from over the weekend. It's all changed at the top. Gary, Pats are back to the summit after their win against Bowes. And we might just start with Shamrock Rovers, actually. They were beaten in Derry the first game at Celtic Park. It was a good occasion in terms of, look, obviously Derry getting the win. It might build a bit of momentum up there for them, and over 7,000 turning out. I think they priced the game very well and marketed it very well, so credit to them for that. But maybe this is the game that had Alan Cawley feeling a bit down on things. I thought as a spectacle on the TV, it was rotten, wasn't it?
Yeah, I did watch. I was doing a bit of flicking. I kind of didn't know whether it was coming or going. But I did stick on this because wasn't it at 8 o'clock kickoff? Wasn't it?
Yeah.
So you know the bit of staggering helps and. I watched a few minutes of it and like I thought the pitch was poor. The picture that was put up probably was more recent than we were hoping. And yeah, I just thought it was just bad. Real low quality game. And to be fair to Bradley in his post-match interview, he said, I think he just said that it was just an awful game.
Yeah.
And I fully agree with him. I thought he was going to start shouting on about the pitch. But he was like, the pitch didn't help, but like, it was just awful.
Yeah.
And I thought that was like the most succinct way another man could have put it was, it was just crap. Yeah. And like, the goal was crap.
Terrible.
Everything was crap. You know, and I think everything up to that, up to the referee blowing the whistle to start the game, everything was good. I just thought it was poor and not a great, you know, because it's not just a novelty. It's great that they're able to play the games in Celtic Park, like only over the road from the Brandywell, and to be able to have, you know, 7,000 people, did you say?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fantastic. But yeah, so look, it was not one for the history books, but a very important win for Derry, has to be said. Like that was
And it's back-to-back wins for Derry as well. And look, I know the knives will be out for us here, the anti-Derry media, as we're often branded by some of our Derry listeners. But I personally, my takeaway from this game was that Shamrock Rovers won't lose too much sleep over losing this game. It was a underwhelming performance from them. I don't think the pitch helped, but I think they would have looked at Derry there. Do you know what they would have said? these boys are no real threat to us for the title.
Yeah, and why would they? Like, what would they have seen throughout the evening to say that, oh, these lads are going to be, you know, we may worry about these in you know, 3 or 4 months' time. I really don't believe that they're going to feature towards the end of the season. And
Michael Duffy's still to come back, so.
This is Derry we're talking about. It's not like, you know, it's not like Sligo last year where they needed Elding to, like, you know, bang in a good few goals, which he did, and he banged in a lot of important goals at important times. Like, he wasn't like adding a goal on to a 4-0 win in the 90th minute. Like, he was scoring important goals throughout the year that gathered them up a lot of points. The like of Derry can't be relying. Jesus, if we only had Michael Duffy back. I know he's an exceptional player and he would be a loss to any team. But if you're going for a title, you build the squad, you build it in such a way that if you do have to be without Michael Duffy for a period of time, that's what's gonna, you have some type of able body to replace him. Do you remember a couple of years ago when they signed, didn't they sign Duffy and McElhenney in the same window?
In around that cut, I think, yeah.
Yeah. And like, we were very concerned about McElhenney being injured. And that proved to be the case.
Maybe we're writing them off a bit premature, because, I mean, as I said, they could maybe build a little bit of momentum now in Celtic Park for the few games.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, absolutely.
And then when they go back to the Brandywell, they're going to be on probably what should be the best surface in the country. Michael Duffy goes back in. Maybe they have a little bit of momentum behind them after a few wins at Celtic Park, and all of a sudden they could be back in the mix. But I just wouldn't have massive faith in that Derry team at present.
I agree with you. And look, who knows what can happen.
Yeah,
teams have turned it around. Teams have rectified their early season shite and really stepped it up towards the run in of the season. It's very possible. And I think actually probably a point that I have discounted getting back to the Brandywell on, you know, a brand new surface probably will be the best in the country. You know, that could that be a difference maker for them up there? We'll wait and see.
We kind of talked about Pat's bows. I don't know if you have anything else to add on that. If not, then we'll talk about the game of the night.
What do you think? Like, what's going on with bows? Do you think, like, did they just overachieve? I know we're only quarter of the way in or whatever, or less even. Coming up to where we're actually a third of the way in, not a quarter. Did we buy into the hype a little bit? Obviously, yes, they haven't won in a good while. I would be concerned that they're not converting. You know, we talked about the number of chances they created in Tala against Rovers, and they were just very unlucky. But it seems to be a bit of a running theme at the moment that needs to be rectified sooner rather than later. And they concede 2 goals on Friday from set pieces. Can I remember?
I watched the highlights, but I didn't see a massive amount of this game now compared to some of the other games.
Yeah, like, but I think Edmondson's second, the header.
Yeah, the back post. Yeah.
And like, you know, you kind of need to cut that out. You know, I know anybody that can score from a corner, like if the right ball is put in, but you just don't want to have another weak point in your game when you're not converting up front as well. Very bad combination, and it's kind of seen that in the recent form for Bowes.
Yeah, fair points. Shelburne 3, Drogheda 4. This was undoubtedly the game of the night. There were boos for Shelburne during the game when they allowed their lead to slip, and there were certainly boos at full time as well. They're down to 8th in the table now, which is hard to believe. They're only above Drogheda on goal difference. They've conceded 3 goals fewer than Waterford. It really has turned into a nightmarish start to the season for Joey O'Brien's men.
Yeah. Where'd even start? Like, Well, fair play to Drogheda. I think
yeah, who were on a rotten run of form themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that was their first win in nine.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
something crazy.
Yeah,
Which obviously isn't ideal, but I thought going 2-0 up at half time, get Boyd back and scoring. I think he got a yellow card as well in the first half.
He's definitely back, so
he's back, yeah. Barrett, he got the header. I thought that was really poor defending.
Terrible.
It was almost a free header, wasn't it?
Mm.
Kinda. But like you can't leave the big centre back free to do that either. And then Davis gets two in the second half, puts him 3-2 up. Did you think it was a penalty? I know Keating didn't really react.
That's why I kind of just accepted it, because of Keely's reaction. He probably does just clip him.
Yeah, fair enough. It just seemed innocuous enough, to be quite honest. But yeah, look. And then get the equaliser, and then Keely goes down himself.
Yeah, he duly makes up for it, doesn't he? Jeez, it's an unbelievable goal. And he didn't celebrate. Of course, he was a former Shelburne player many moons ago. But Jesus Christ, I score a goal like that and I'm probably in the stands.
Yeah, absolutely. But I wouldn't be doing that. And I'm not really mad about the idea for League of Ireland players to do that. Sure, everybody has played for everybody.
Yeah, there'll be no
celebration doing that. Like, but if do you remember Boyd's first goal? He just like passed it in near post.
Yes.
What in the name of Jesus was the keeper out there?
Yeah, I did look at that. Thought beaten a bit easily, but
easily is it? There's one. That's one way of describing it. But
Dennison might be back in there yet.
Well, yeah, I think so. Like a really bad first half, but like. For Drogheda. But Janie Mack, they really came out in the second half, got the goal, 5 or 6 minutes into the second half. Davis comes up then with an equaliser. And sorry, it took me a minute to remember his first goal. Ball is just pulled in from the end line. He takes one touch into the 6-yard box that takes out two defenders. Like, absolutely bursted the two of them. They were absolutely gone to the shops. Now, it wasn't like all he did was take one little touch into space and then pass it into the corner. Like the defending, like you can see why Shells are conceding heaps of goals. Like it's absolute shite what they're at. And even like the third goal, Davis's second goal, a ball in from the right again. Your mate Gannon, what's he at out there? Shells are clearly. There's clearly a problem for them out there, because you know, 2 goals in 5 minutes conceded from out that side, and then Davis.
He was only on the pitch. He was only on the pitch a couple of minutes as well, Gannon. About 20 minutes, I think he came on, did he? 20 minutes to go.
20 minutes to go. So then he wasn't even on there. Well, then I retract that statement. I thought he was playing, because I remember when I flicked it on at one point and I heard Gannon mentioned a couple of times. So if he only came on, I retract my statement about Gannon. My apologies. But yeah, really poor defending. Like the ball is headed away poorly out into the penalty spot, and no one is really there to clear that danger. Help is made out at the back, cleared on further. No one was there. Warren Davis was there, and it's kind of scuffed it in, but it still went in. That was 3-2. Penalty comes along, and I'm not sure. Like I watched a good bit of it from this point on. Was it? I don't even feel that Shells were going to come back into the game if they didn't get that penalty. They felt like they were done. But look, Wood steps up, buries the penalty, and they shit the togs then again a few minutes later with Conor Keighley getting the winner. So, like, there's a lot of really, really poor defending. There seems to be a bit of... I don't know, are these lads drilled well, or are they paying attention to what they're at? are they? I don't really know how they're. I know how they're doing it, but like, how are they doing it at the same time? If you know what I mean, like how are they conceding so many goals? Like I know Drogheda have been okay going forward, but also like I would say they probably don't have the personnel that they, you know, firing on all cylinders. There's 16 goals scored, like it's middle of the road in respect of the table for goals scored, but they're still ninth and hadn't won a game in 9 games, and then they go down to Talca and win. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it was obviously a huge win for Drogheda, and fair play to them for getting it, but there's serious problems at the back. And even, actually, sorry, you know, Duffer was on Virgin Media a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about stupid mistakes, careless behaviour, not looking at the danger around you. It's your job, not mine, type of shit that's going on. Shells will not be able to get out of this situation if they don't solve some of these problems.
Could be 2020 all over again.
I don't think it's going to be that bad. Come on.
But I don't know how they go about rectifying this.
Why do you say that?
I just mean from a, like, what, how do you, how individual errors, how do you account for those? You can't really. Do they need to maybe go back to a more like defensive structure?
Well, they built their, you know, success in recent years on a strong base. Like, how many times were we going on about a 1-0 win to Shells, where they were really hard to break down and just did enough to win the game with the odd goal? I think it's difficult because, like, it's been going on all season. Like, they've conceded 21 goals. Like, as you said, there's only one team worse than them, and that's Waterford, who are shite. So
I know you had a drop off last season. I just wonder if the absence of Mark Coyle has played a part in this as well. Is there enough protection for that back three, that back four, whatever shape they're playing? I know a lot of Shells fans talking about Jarvis as well, since he's come back, that he's been playing pretty much as a left wing back, which is not what you would have expected. You wouldn't have expected to see him there. Yeah. You think of him scoring goals up the other end of the pitch. Well, like, so
you hear very little talk about that man.
Mm.
After all the hoopla about him coming back, I suppose it's an interesting comparison to James McLean. There was a lot of talk about him going back to Derry, and there's nothing has really transpired there other than he's injured, actually. So we'll see how that goes.
It's like he got positive news anyway from that meeting with the specialist, which is good. It would be a sad way for it would have been a very sad way for him to end if that was it. Like,
what news was that now?
He just said he got positive news, not going to need surgery. I think he can manage whatever he has with injections for another while, so hopefully we'll see him back on the pitch and in a Derry jersey, because as I said, it would have been a very, very sad way if he had played his last game for Derry and just blew out after being sent off in Oriel Park.
Yeah, that wouldn't be ideal, to be fair. And hopefully, look,
especially with the games on in Celtic Park there at the minute, he would have loved that the other night against Shamrock Rovers. So,
yeah, true enough. Yeah, 100%. Hopefully, it's all
okay. Yeah, just sticking with Shells. They had Wood, Martin, Henry, Francis, Boyd all on the pitch the other night. I just wonder if they need to maybe.
Barrett.
But just talking about attacking players, I just wonder if they need to just go back to basics for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, but they're in, like, they've scored a heap of goals. Like, they're third or fourth highest in the table for scoring goals. So, like, that's not a major problem. Like,
but that's the point I'm making, though. Are they set up too aggressively?
And they're just not outscoring teams. If you score three, we'll score four. If you score three, we'll score two and we'll lose the game. That's what they're saying at the minute. So that's a fair point. I did. They do need a bit of a head transplant at the moment, though, because
even the
goals are conceding this shite.
Yeah, Spiel's let a few bad ones in as well. So they've got problems. They've got a lot of problems there all over the pitch. Not going to be an easy fix there at all for Joey O'Brien. Moving on then to other games we need to talk about. Waterford 1, Galway United 1. Waterford with a late equaliser, but it's not really worth a whole bag to them, is it? They're still bottom of the table without a win. It's looking very, very grim.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like teams that were almost completely relegated early on in the division. All they were left doing was just pissing off other people that, you know, if they nicked a draw anywhere. And this is like probably one of those examples, because like they're so far adrift. They seem so far away from getting a win. Mm. Like we've, as I said, a third of the season gone. They've played everybody, obviously. They haven't got a win. I don't see them getting, like, could this be a case of where they get like two wins all year or three wins all year?
The way it's going, looks like a possibility.
Like, you know,
you obviously have to factor in possible changes that could happen during a season, but at this moment in time, they look miles off everyone else.
Oh, 1,000 miles. It's not even close. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, they're not next or near it. And I know it was a good point to get. Like, you take it any way you get it at this point. But yeah, I don't know. I just don't see. I don't see where they're going to get wins. And I know who that ball lad they brought in last year from Fleetwood.
Yeah, I always forget his name, but he is actually the Fleetwood manager now. I was looking him up the other day.
What? Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's the Fleetwood boss, yeah.
Well, you wouldn't know what could go on in this club structure. It was like, Fleetwood are doing okay, we need Waterford to say, so you need to go over there and fix that job. Fair play to your man.
Matt Lawler.
Yeah, if I was here for 1,000 years, I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah,
fair play to him. He's put in the hard yards and he got the big job now, so congratulations to him. But yeah, I don't know who comes in. I don't know how they do it. I think that, you know, when you look at some of the individuals, like, how is it not happening? You know what I mean? Like, you look at the players. Like, surely Kevin Long has been a good addition. Or you'd imagine, like, just purely on paper. You have Amanda up front, Lonergan, the boy that used to play for Pats, Connor Carty, Kevin Long, Dean McMenemy. These are good players.
Yeah, even again, I was talking with Shelburne there, maybe needing just to retreat a little bit and try and just focus on keeping clean sheets first before they think about scoring goals. I'd look at a team that's struggling towards the bottom, and we've seen Dean McMenemy. He's a solid midfield player. You think he'd maybe be getting a start. He came off the bench and got the goal. Evan McLaughlin, I was surprised not to see him starting. Noonan, the lad they paid reportedly 50 grand of a transfer fee for from Rovers. I've seen him a few times this season. He's been hugely disappointing. Tommy Lonergan, only coming off the bench the other day. So a lot of those players are underperforming. As much as people are talking about the manager, the players themselves have underperformed.
Oh, there's no question about that. Like, there's definitely players that are letting down the manager, but I don't think that, like...
I don't think they're well set up.
No, they're not well set up.
No.
They're not well set up. There seems to be a definite lack of understanding as to what their roles are. And even, if it is simplified, it seems to be like, well, I can't get this down on the pitch. But one thing... Like, are they in a bit of a... Have they, like, nearly got into a funk where, like, no matter what I do, it's going to fail? You know what I mean? Like I can't do right anymore in a blue jersey. And it just perpetuates itself for the rest of the season.
But there was actually another team I saw at the weekend that kind of gave me the vibes like that. I'll tell you more about that a little bit later on. But look, at the moment, it's not good for Waterford. Galway be disappointed that they dropped 2 points here, but overall, they are still having a very good start to the season. That just leaves us with the game that happened Saturday night at the Showgrounds. You, when we're doing the predictions league, and I say to you, oh, Sligo against Derry or Sligo against Bowes, whatever, you often say to me, is this a Friday or Saturday night? There seems to be something about Sligo on a Saturday night. It's just a difficult place to go, isn't it, as the saying goes? The dock were caught out here.
The dock were caught out. A huge win. for Sligo. Really, like, unexpected, of course. But absolutely massive. That puts them up to seventh. And they've 3 wins on the bounce of Sligo. Like, that seemed to be a very, very far away thing. But one of them was against Bowes in Daly Mount a few weeks ago. They had a decent win against Waterford, which it was absolutely vital that they did. And then High Fly and Dundalk are dismantled in the showground. So, like, what a great last few weeks for Sligo and their fans, because, like, you know, before that, it seemed to be, right, we're going to be just trying to batter Waterford whenever we see them and hope to drop points and don't go into a run or anything like that, and we'll see how we get on in the playoffs. But they've been absolutely great the last few weeks, and another important win on Saturday. So, yeah, not a bad bit of time for Sligo.
Yeah, Dundalk be disappointed with the opening goal in particular that they gave away, and the Minogue with a bad goalkeeping mistake. But look, from a Dundalk point of view, their first half performance was poor, give away cheap goal in the first half. Second half, they were much better. They hit the woodwork a couple of times, had one cleared off the line. They forced the keeper into some saves. This is only the second time this season they failed to score. I think the other game was that hammering they took in Richmond. Did they score in Richmond? No, it was 4-0, was it? It was a 4-1. 4-0. So this is only the second time they failed to score. I still saw plenty of positives from Dundalk, so wouldn't be losing.
Oh, God, no. I wouldn't lose a wink of sleep. Like, you'd be disappointed. But
just
like,
one of those. Write it off again. Yeah. Right, into the first division. Bray Wanderers 1, Cork City 1. I thought this was an excellent performance from Bray. Very unlucky not to come away with the 3 points.
Yeah, particularly the goal was sensational. What a hit. Well,
was it a nonchalant finish, or did he almost make a Hames with the...
Oh, the follow-up was definitely, I think he made a bollocks of it and was just lucky it went in. Because that, yeah, you don't get too many opportunities against Cork, even if they're not playing great, you still don't get many opportunities. So
I think if he missed that, it would have been like the Irish kicker in the NFL that missed the 2 extra point kicks and he was just never seen again. I think that's what would have happened to Akara there, or Chara, whatever the pronunciation is, but... Yeah,
I know that was wouldn't have been forgivable. I can't remember what we said on the predictions.
We would have both gone for Cork wins. Bray were in a rotten run of form.
But they were in a rotten run of form. But yeah, this was a great result for them. You know, it's take points off the league leaders. And as I said, pretty much every bloody time we get on this podcast, it's more, you know, just a procession. So if you can lift a few points off Cork, they're good bonus points to get. And this was another one of those. You said that they might feel disappointed it didn't hang on to it?
Bray, yeah, I thought they were unlucky not to win the game.
Yeah, look, but I suppose that probably from the recent run of form, that doesn't help there, but... be happy with the point, I'm sure.
Yeah, Cork City do remain unbeaten, of course. Wexford's good run of form continued. They were 2-0 winners against Cove Ramblers. Wexford bouncing back from their defeat against Cork, but they played really well in that game against Cork City last time. So that is now 4 wins and a draw from their last 6.
Yeah, not a bad spell of form. I think probably the last time the loss was against Town.
Aside from the Cork game, yeah.
Aside from the Cork game, we're not putting too much stock in those. Yeah, another really good result. Kovar, it's not just ticking for them at all, is it?
Well, they had that run of 3 in a row, but then you've seen them against Longford weren't overly impressed, so this maybe wasn't the most surprising result in the world.
Yeah, I think so. You'd be just disappointed I know that they had a nice run of form, Cove, but like, I don't think it's clicking for them. They're just not as smooth as they would have liked. Even like I say, if you look back at this game, the defending was absolutely tragic. You know, like if you just look back at the first goal, ball comes in from like out by the stand, and I think it definitely bounces once anyway.
to come into the box. You know, no one's taking ownership of anything. No one can clear that ball out. And it wasn't as if it wasn't like whipped in or anything like that. It was just a ball that was just a boot was thrown at it and it got a bounce in the box, at least one anyway, and headed into the back of the net from close range. Like, it's just really not great quality defending from Cove. So, like, they can be got at. I know Longford Town didn't win the game down in St. Coleman's Park the week before, but they were the team on top that were attacking and are doing most of the attacking. And when you look at players like, let's say, Dylan McGlade, that should be a bit more productive for Cove. You know, it's a bit frustrating. But yeah, look, that happens. Good win for Wexford. Are they going to stay in the playoff positions, do you think?
Oh, in the playoff positions, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
A bad season got worse for Treaty United. They were beaten 3-0 by UCD.
Yeah, comprehensive enough stuff. It's not going well, is it?
No.
I don't know what they do. Like, on one hand, like, there's, you know, players missing and stuff like that. But, like, you know, a good tanking here against, you know, I know UCD are playing very well this season. And they're a very dangerous team. But the defending has been really poor. Can't seem to, like, identify danger. And obviously going forward, very blunt, poor finishing. Don't be near taking the chances that they do create. I think it would be a lot worse if Jack Brady wasn't in the goals for
yeah. I hope that man's getting hazard pay.
Yeah, he probably needs it. Yeah. Well, look, he's a League of Ireland goalkeeper. He spent, you know, time with Longford and stuff like that as well. He's probably owed a lot of hazard pay on top of it. But
he must have known what he was signing up for, though. Like, you look at the squad and they just don't have the players.
They don't have the players. You know, sprinkled in with a couple of injuries, it's always going to be difficult. But yeah, it's just tough going. I don't see many bright options here or bright lights coming for Treaty this season. I think it's just going to be one of them, and I think what do you always call it, the old wooden spoon, is it?
Wooden spoon, yeah.
Yeah, like, I think avoiding that would be a major positive.
Yeah, and look, it's not a surprise as well with results and performances the way they are at the moment. Attendance has really dropped off. Like, I'm just looking at a couple of highlights here, and you look up into that vast, massive stand at the Markets Field and so many empty seats. So it just can't be an enjoyable place to watch football, to play football. It's a really, really difficult season so far for Treaty. Yeah. You know, just on UCD, this young lad Hugh Smith's making a bit of a name for himself, isn't he?
He is indeed, yeah. I haven't heard about him. Now, I have a local informant that would tell me about players that are coming up in the underage. I think, do you remember? Oh,
6 goals in 12 in the first division for an 18-year-old.
Was it Dylan Duffy?
Yeah, the name rings a bell. What about him?
Do you remember? Yeah, like he was, let me just make sure, Dylan. Yeah, he. I actually watched it or said it to you a couple of times. I watched him a few times for UCD. I was like, this fella is a player, and he's over with Chesterfield.
Oh,
but I remember hearing about him when he was playing underage for UCD, and yeah, my informant said, yeah, this lad's a bit of a baller here. Yeah, he's gone over to England. He's playing well. He went over to Lincoln. He played 50 times for Lincoln. And he's with Chesterfield now. So, yeah, doing all right. Yeah.
Because the one thing we said about UCD a few times on the show was they probably look like they'll be best of the rest. Only concern is maybe they haven't got a player at the very top end to score a lot of goals for them, but he's got 6 and 12, as I said now, so he keeps that level of form up, then I think they'll definitely take that silver medal. Finn Harps won Athlone 2, another great result for Athlone.
Yeah, really good stuff. Like, they went through their own bit of a blip for a period of time, but yeah, to beat Longford comprehensively. That was the last bag. That was Easter Monday, wasn't it? Sorry. Good result against Bray, and then a really good result up in Finn Park. So, yeah, it's been a really nice few weeks for Athlone. They're playing Longford on the bank holiday again. So, hopefully they don't get to repeat the last time in next week.
A result like this is a very disappointing one for Finn Harps. That's twice now this season they've been beaten by Athlone, but I suppose Longford in the last couple of years, even when they haven't been in fantastic form, they have pulled out a big home win here and there, and that's kind of kept them just on the coattails of the teams around them. Now Finn Harps are only 5 points outside the playoffs, and if they were to finish in the playoffs, it would be a massive, massive achievement. But that's why these kind of home games against teams
are important.
And they've only won one of their six home games so far, and again, I think they're probably squad-wise and everything kind of on a par with Longford. A small bit, Longford have 3 wins from 6 at home. So Longford are making the most of those home games, whereas Finn Harps most certainly are not.
Yeah, that's it. I think, have Longford only lost a home game this
twice.
Season?
They've lost Cove and...
Cove and Harps.
Harps. Funny enough.
Yeah. So... Like, look, yeah, it's not ideal, but also, yeah, like they need to be making it a fortress, as the saying goes. But one win at home all season is, as you said, makes it any real push for the playoffs extremely difficult.
Yeah,
and you know, if they tweak that over the summer, like, you know, maybe they could, you know, swing the pendulum a bit towards the playoffs come the end of the season. But like, to have 6 played and 1 win, and that win was a good while ago, I can't even remember who it was against.
But the great win at home against UCD early in the season,
that must have been it then.
That was probably their best result of the season so far. But anyway, on to Longford against Kerry. Longford winning 1-0, should have won by more. I have to say Kerry were probably, no, they were, that they were the poorest team I've seen Longford play so far this season. Obviously, we've had quite a few communications from Kerry fans through the hotline over the last couple of shows. Easy to see why now that we've seen Kerry in the flesh. You asked me earlier about Waterford, if they've almost kind of totally lost any belief that they can achieve anything. There was times on Saturday where Longford were obviously in front and Kerry would try and play a pass or try and do something, and the ball would just go out of play, a tackle breakdown, and heads would just drop down into chest. There was a complete lack of belief for this Kerry team. They had no way about them. They couldn't
pass. No swagger, no nothing.
Couldn't string a couple of passes together. Any long balls up towards Kelleher. I know he's only coming back from injury. He's probably not fully fit, but he was miles off it. He got bullied by a teenager in McCarthy and the other centre half alongside him, Conor Herity. They just had him in his pocket all night. The likes of Vincent Borden, big signing. We would have talked about him on the pre-season pods that, Jesus, Vincent Borden, after playing 25 games or something last season in the Premier Division for Galway, he's after signing for Kerry. Sure, he should run this league. He came on and his impact off the bench was...
Non-existent.
He had the opposite of an impact. He was actually detrimental to his team coming on.
Yeah.
Other big-name players that have gone in there, I know you were critical of him last season, and you're probably right, Hakkinen. He was all over the shop.
Yeah.
This was a dire, dire performance from Kerry.
It really was. I have... Can't think of any.
Kian Moore didn't have a save to make for Longford Town.
No, probably not. Just Kerry just really a non-entity throughout the game. And like, it was so, anytime like they had the ball for like a little period of time, it was really noticeable because, you know, it was just noticeable that they hadn't made a mistake and, you know, booted the ball away. But even in those periods of time that they did have the ball, they really weren't able to do anything positive. It was a lot of shuffling out to the left, back to centre, back to the right back, into a midfielder, back to the centre back. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was all just nearly performative possession that they weren't actually going to do anything with the ball. I think I'm not sure about, like, how are they approaching games? Like, what did they think? How are we going to get 3 points out of this? Doesn't seem to be... I'm not sure if that's a question that's asked before a game. It was really poor. One of the positives, I think, was the number, or the really good long throw-in was dangerous, but they didn't make good use of that either.
Great.
I think.
Oh, great.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying. But, like, when you're down at the bottom, like, you'll take anything you can get, like, do you know what I mean?
Jesus, lad, this is what, their fourth season in the league?
Third?
They were bottom. This is their fourth season, I think. They were bottom the first 2 years.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Second
yeah,
bottom
yeah.
last year. Like, that's something I'd expect you to be saying in their first season. Oh, they've got a great long throw.
Yeah, but the lad is shite. Like you have to take something positive. Well, I don't give a shit either way. I'm just saying, like, the one positive and the one thing that did cause a bit of danger for Longford was the long throw-in. But after that, it was non-existent.
Yeah, I'm
trying to throw a bit of a
The only player I thought that could leave the pitch with his head held high for Kerry was Sean O'Connell, the left back. I thought he was very solid. Aside from that, I thought it was an absolutely stinking performance.
Yeah, not great.
It wasn't. We mentioned Borden. His impact off the bench was atrocious. Britton came on. He gave the ball away several times. The subs that they made, they used the full five subs, and not one of those subs had an impact.
That's a problem. And I remember you complaining about this five sub thing anyway, or I don't know, you were complaining about it, but like you've changed half the team.
Yeah, and still nothing.
So yeah, look, we'll say for Longford Town, they will be disappointed they didn't score a couple of more.
The Dara Murray missed a sitter. Hit the woodwork once or twice.
Yeah.
Keeper made a good save, but that was almost a comical own goal where one Kerry lad booted it into the face of another, and fairness to the keeper who had a bit of a shaky night, he pulled off a good save. But Longford, they probably should have won this by 2-3-4.
100%,
really, really poor performance from Kerry, but a good disciplined performance again from Longford. I know they weren't really up against much, but again, the manner they went through it was very professional. That's 6 clean sheets now from 12. Longford only got 6 clean sheets in all of last season. I think one player I'd like to highlight is Sultan Adenikan in the midfield. Player that we kind of knew nothing about, didn't see him much in the first few weeks of the season. It was only that recent Bray game where he got his first start. And in the last few weeks, he's been very, very impressive.
Yeah, he's been sensational. Sean Moore got sent off.
In Athlone.
So Adenikan had to come in while Sean served his suspension. And look, he might find it a bit difficult to get back into the squad. Adenikan has been absolutely sensational. And you mentioned on the commentary the other night, like, he's not experienced at all at this level. Do you know what I mean?
No, he was with Athlone in 2022 and 2023. And I think he played one game maybe. And then he left the league and went to Maynooth, and that's obviously where he signed from for Longford. So he essentially has no League of Ireland experience, but he's like a player that's been playing there his whole life. He seems to be able to read the danger before it happens.
Sensational.
And then he's able to react ahead of time because he's so explosive off the mark. He's got an explosivity about him. And when he gets the ball, he uses it really cleverly and efficiently. So I've been impressed with him. He's a player to keep an eye on.
100%, yeah. I think
still only 22.
Yeah, but which is great. But I think, like, he hasn't. I can't remember even like, oh, Jesus, what did you do that for?
Yeah, yeah.
Like the thought once in the games that I've seen him in. So that's obviously really positive. But it's a great thing to have that. Like when an important player for Longford Town, Sean Moore, does get sent off, you have ability in the ranks to step into that and put in a top performance.
Yeah, I thought Dan McKenna as well had an excellent game too. Just, we were talking about Shelburne earlier on. You might thank me for saying this, but Taylor McCarthy's on loan from Shelburne and he's been absolutely sensational.
You were going to cut this out from the podcast.
You just wonder, should they have maybe kept him in the squad?
Yeah, he is. He has been absolutely fantastic for the town.
Suppose you can't foresee what's going to happen. They did sign the lad from Cliftonville, and he picked up a knock, and he's barely played. So they probably felt they had enough players there. But
maybe not the best decision in hindsight. But they also recalled a player from
Athlone. Yeah,
so they probably have cover. I think he was a defensive midfielder. That chap, I can't remember his name.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
But you know, hopefully they don't do that, and hopefully, from a Longford Town perspective, they forget that Taylor McCarthy is playing for Longford and just leave him there forever. Because he's just, look, I know he's a young player, but it's his first, you know, real go at senior football. Honest to God, I like for such a young player, he's been never flustered. Do you know what I mean? He's so calm on the ball, clears the ball, identifies the danger. Yeah, just works really well. So, yeah, great addition for the town.
Right, Gary, let's move on to the Between the Stripes LOI Podcast Predictions League. Just a quick recap on what happened last week. We were joined last week on behalf of the listeners by Ronan McCarthy from Wexford. And Ronan got one correct score. That was the Longford Kerry game, which you also got as well, by the way, the 1-0. And he got two correct results, which was Wexford beating Cove and UCD beating Treaty. So he got 5 points last week. I only got the three correct results last week. Wexford, Cove, Treaty, UCD, Longford, Kerry. Didn't get any correct scores. You got one correct score. That was Longford, Kerry, as I said. And you got three correct results to go with it as well. Wexford, Cove, Treaty, UCD, and Pat's Bowes. So you managed to get yourself 6 points last week. So you came out on top once again for, geez, that's a good few weeks in a row now.
Well, lovely.
Definitely last 2 weeks in a row anyway. So that leaves the league table like this. You're on top with 66. Listeners are starting to catch up with me. They're on 50. I'm on 55. So you've got an 11-point lead, Gary.
How bad is that? Amazing how that has happened now that you're not totting up the scores. Shocking. Yeah, I won't be a plunger on this one. But yeah, good to see.
You'll do an Arsenal on it yet, don't worry. anyway, let's see who we're going to be joined by this week. We're going to be joined by James C. Mackin, who I think appears to possibly be a Dundalk fan. We'll start with the Premier Division games, Gary. Actually, no, sorry. Do you want to start Premier or First Division?
First Division.
Start First Division.
Yeah.
Cream always rises to the top. UCD against Longford Town. We'll start there.
I think this will be a good game. Obviously UCD run quite well at the moment. Would have been a game that I would have been fearful of to a degree. But I think Longford's defensive work and how good they've been this season at the back is going to be a difficulty for UCD. I'm going to go for a nil-all draw.
I think this will be a good game, but you've gone for a nil-nil draw.
Yeah.
Kenny Cunningham's wet dream there. I'm going for exactly the same, by the way. Nil-nil, as it was earlier in the season between these two.
Yeah. Look, maybe I'm saying it'll be a good game from a Longford perspective. I just think the Longford shyness in front of goal is...
Yeah.
It is obviously a problem, but I think stopping UCD is something that
I think as we said recently, UCD are a lot better defensively than we maybe would have expected. So yeah, I think this will be nil-nil. Bray against Treaty.
What about our guest?
Sorry, our guest has gone for a 3-1 win to UCD.
Oh, Jenny Mac. Okay.
Should have picked someone else.
Yes, absolutely. well, no, because that's not going to happen. So, yeah, go ahead.
Bray against Treaty. Maybe a couple of weeks ago when Bray were just going through a bit of a quiet patch, you might have thought this could potentially be sticky for them. But we talked about Treaty fairly extensively earlier on at home here. You'd expect Bray to have too much for them.
Yeah, no. Not a runner here. Unfortunately, I don't think there's going to be much of a goal here for Treaty. This game is in the Carlisle, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm going to go for a 3-0 win to Bray.
I'm going to follow our listener, James, who's gone for a 2-0 win to Bray. Wexford against Finn Harps.
Yeah, this would have been, you know, him and doing a lot of him and Hahn here, but I think Wexford's recent run of form.
Could be a good game week for the home teams in the first division, I think.
Yeah. Well, apart from UCD. I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Wexford.
That's what James has gone with. That's what I'm going with as well. That brings us to Athlone against Kerry. This is it's a big bank holiday weekend for Athlone, a home to a Kerry team that are struggling, and then they've got the derby in Longford on Monday. So two big games coming up. If they could get 4 or even 6 points from them, they'd be absolutely flying.
Oh, yeah, sure. If anybody gets 6 points over the weekend, you'd be flying when you wake up Tuesday morning. I don't see anything. I didn't see anything in Kerry to be fearful of.
Nothing
for anybody else in the division. I think this is going to be a comfortable win for Athlone. 2-0 to Athlone.
Not sure. I'm not sure they're overly reliable just yet. So I'm going to go for a 1-0 to Athlone there, but I expect them to win. James going for a 2-2 draw.
Absolutely nothing. What I saw on Saturday that would back that up. I can't see Kerry scoring.
Yeah, they do well to score two goals across two games at the minute the way they're playing. Then we've got the Cork derby between Cork City and Cove Ramblers at Turner's Cross, or the Munster FA Turner's Cross as it is these days.
Yeah, the Munster FA Turner's Cross Stadium. Yeah, look, I think there's just going to be another win for Cork City. I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Cork.
I'm going to go 2-0 to Cork City there.
Fair enough, yeah.
And James going for he's going for a 2-1 win to Cove. I wonder if he's a Cove fan by any chance, or does he? Nah, he's at Dundalk. Of course, he hates Cork City. Yes.
Fair enough. Okay,
makes sense now.
Oh, from that that rivalry that people go on about was never a rivalry. Never a rivalry. I cannot believe people call that anything. I remember it at all. Cork were a pain in Dundalk's hole while Cork fought. Stop rewriting history, folks.
Right, into the Premier Division, we've got Drogheda United against Sligo Rovers. And James, very interestingly, going for a 2-1 win to Sligo. Sligo
but he'd also hit Drogheda, wouldn't he?
Yes. We definitely should have picked someone else. This man is he's too emotional.
He's blinded.
I was just going to say it's a strange selection because I think Sligo have lost on their last four visits there. I've certainly been there for a couple of them, including that 7-0, which I often bring up.
What do you think for here? Do you give Sligo a chance?
I give them a chance of getting something out of the game. I think this could be, I don't want to say low scoring given Drogheda's last game, but I think this could be a tight game. So I'm going to go 0-0.
I'm going to go 1-1.
Okay.
One thing, I know I said it earlier with, I think Drogheda need to get their thinking caps on with regard to the keeping situation there. Like that Sean Boyd goal was an absolute disgrace of a,
I wouldn't go that far on it, but it wasn't fantastic from the keeper.
Okay, that's a very kind way of putting it, but okay.
One thing Dennison was great at last season was springing off the line, spreading himself, closing the angle, making big one-on-one saves. I think he would have probably done better in that situation.
I think so. And I know...
But look, I fully agree. I think Doherty was right to give him a couple of games on the bench because he wasn't fully at it this season.
No, he wasn't, and he was making a bollocks of some, like, he wasn't throwing it into his own goal, but like he was doing some stupid shit as well. So
even the few Drogheda games I was at, distribution could have been better at times too. So
yeah, so that, you know, that requires a change. And that's absolutely fine, but I think it might be worth giving Luke a go again.
Dundalk against Shelburne. Obviously, James going for Dundalk win. I would be fairly confident that Dundalk can win as well.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I think we already put that Sligo game down as a.
Yeah, just write it off. One of those.
Write it off. Yeah.
And do you know what? Actually, Sligo were due that result because they should have won or at least got a point in Oriel earlier in the season. That was probably Dundalk's worst performance of the season, certainly that I saw in Oriel on a Monday night earlier in the year.
Yeah,
they stole it. So they were probably due. It's probably just karma there. But I think I've seen enough, as I said earlier, in the second half from Dundalk to suggest everything's still okay there. I'm going to follow James and go with a 2-0 to Dundalk.
I don't think it'll be that. I think Shells are still scoring. I'll go for 2-1 to Dundalk. But I think
it's not beyond the realms here that Dundalk could open up on Shells, though, how bad Shells are defensively.
No, I don't see that happening. I think what might be giving a bit of relief to the Dundalk or the Shelburne backline is that they do have danger going forward. So you can't just open up, you know, Dundalk won't be able to open up here.
Aruby, Kenny, Teton, Horgan's back, I think, isn't he? Yeah, no, I definitely think Dundalk will win this. Galway against St. Pat's. James probably going for a comprehensive Pats win because he hates John Caulfield. Allegedly, he's gone 3-1 Pats here.
Down in Imidisi Park, I don't see that. I do see Galway scoring. I'm going to go for a tighter game, but I do think Pats will shave it. Particularly with Edmondson. He got two against Bowes there the other day. And that first goal, I thought Johnny McDonald?
On comms?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For Pats. Yeah. I thought he was going to have to be carted out of the place after he saw that goal. Jesus Christ, lad. Calm down. It was a good goal. But it wasn't the best goal. Probably wasn't the best goal that game. Never mind the way he was reacting. I thought it was just give him the push because right now. Jesus, lad. I know, like, enjoyed the game and enjoyed the football, but, like, it was a great finish. But that's all what it was. Like, Jeannie Mac. You know, he's actually, you know, coming into it now as well. I think, we already said that he joined top scorer in the division. So it's another positive for Pats.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a 2-1. Yeah, I'm going to follow you on a 2-1.
Yeah.
And James going 3-1, as I said. At least he wasn't too emotional. There was a bit of emotion here because I think it'll be more comprehensive than this, but he didn't let emotion overtake his better judgment here. He's gone for Shamrock Rovers to beat Waterford, but he's only gone 1-0. I think it'll be a lot more comfortable than that. I'd be thinking 2-3 here.
Yeah. Well, Rovers don't open up on anybody.
Yeah, they kind of play within themselves a wee bit, don't they, at times? They know they have the gears if they need them.
Yeah, so like, yeah, if there is problem at 70 minutes, we solve problem by bringing on five.
Yeah, yeah.
Lads that walk into any other team in the division, almost. So that's fair enough. I'm going to go for a 3-0 win to Shamrock Rovers.
I'm going to go routine 2-0 here to Shamrock Rovers. That leaves us with Bohemians against Derry. This is a big game for both teams. Derry on a good run of form. Bowes not on a good run of form. How do you see this one going?
I'm going to give Bowes one more shout here, even though I know Derry. This is in Dalymount, right?
This is in Dalymount, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, I was getting confused because remember they played all the home games earlier on in the season.
I'm inclined to be in the same school of thought as you. I'm inclined to give Bowes another roll of the dice here.
Yeah, same.
I'm going to go 1-0 to Bowes.
I'll follow you on 1-0 to Bowes.
Okay, and James is going for a 1-1 draw there. So there are predictions for this week. Before we get to the hotline, we have got our charity bet again. No luck again last week, Gary. It's absolutely
who let us down, Shells, was it?
No, Rovers, I think, was in both of our bets, would it? And Cork would have been in there too.
Oh, probably.
So
yeah,
we probably weren't that close, really. What do you want to go first this week?
Well, you go first.
Okay, I'm shooting from the hip here. I didn't pre-prepare this week. I pre-prepared last week and it didn't help. So, right, we're going to go Dundalk.
Okay.
I'll go with Shamrock Rovers -1.
Right.
Shamrock Rovers -1. I'm going to have a look in the first division here quickly. I might come back to the Premier Division yet, though. First division, go with Bray to beat Treaty. We'll go with Cork City, even though they let us down last week. What are we at there? Let me see what a tenner stake returns there. Yeah, I'll take that. That is a tenner stake there. Will return over €103. I'm not actually logged into my account here, so I think we'll get a boost with that as well. Let me have a look. Okay. Yeah, we're going to get a 5% ACA boost there, so that'll bring us at €108.28. I'm going to lock that in right now.
So who is that, just to be clear?
So I've gone for Dundalk to win, Shamrock Rovers minus one, Bray to win, and Cork City to win.
Okay, I'm going for Athlone.
Athlone, okay.
I'm going for Bray.
I think I see where you're going with this.
I'm going for Cork.
Yeah. I just go Wexford, is it?
Yeah.
Leave the town game out.
Yeah.
Do you want to delve into the Premier at all, or are you happy enough?
I do.
Oh, you do want to delve into the Premier.
Yeah, okay. What am I getting there now?
With those four teams, you're going to get over €110 back. That includes your 5% ACA boost.
Yeah, that'll do me.
I think you should stick with that.
Yeah.
We might have more luck just playing the first.
Can I just ask one little question?
Yeah.
Longford Town and UCD nil all. Or just a draw?
Just a draw.
200 million back.
405.47 back. With a 10% ACA boost.
What do you think?
No.
Okay. I'll just do the four then. Take that.
Yeah. I'm happy with that. All right. Let's lock in that 5% ACA boost. Thanks for the R1 betting. So just to confirm, Gary, you're going with Athlone, Bray, Cork and Wexford all at home as well. And a €10 stake will return €110.36. So that's this week's Bar One Betting charity bet. Thanks to Bar One Betting for sponsoring that again this week. You can get odds on all of the latest League of Ireland matches on bar1betting.com and the Bar One Betting app. Of course, gambling's for over 18s only. Always gamble responsibly. And if you haven't already checked it out, then do check out the Bar One Betting League of Ireland Lowdown Show, which is available on the Bar One Betting YouTube and Spotify channels, hosted by myself with former League of Ireland manager Shane Keegan. So you can get his thoughts on the games coming up this weekend. That'll be out this week's show, probably tomorrow at some stage, I would imagine. Right, the hotline, Gary, let's get stuck into this week's BTS hotline before we go. Sam with a picture of, I've already forgotten his name, what was the Waterford manager last season? Now the Fleetwood manager.
Lawler,
yeah. He just sent us a picture and said, I miss him a lot today.
Yeah, I sympathize.
Sometimes you don't know what you had until it's gone, isn't that right?
Yeah. Well, don't fall in love with a lone player, isn't that the other saying?
Or a Fleetwood coach.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know where to. I really don't know where to go. Like, and there doesn't seem to be.
Don't fall in love with any player or coach that's part of a multi-club ownership model.
Well, that too, but. What's the, like, what are they going to do next? Like, you know, I think a decision will probably have to be made quite soon if they have any chance of recovery.
Yeah.
Because the one benefit any manager would have is the window is coming up. So you might get a bit of space to bring in three or four players that might make a difference for you come the end of the season. And you want a manager to be able to go and do that. So I think leaving it later might be a bad idea.
Nathan O'Reilly, shocking performance from Kerry once again. Constant long balls leading to nothing. Borden was shocking when he came on at halftime. Barely any chances created. Boring to watch. Colin Healy should be sacked as the team has gotten worse this season, especially in midfield. Look, whatever about his other comments there, it's hard to disagree that they've gone backwards this season.
Yeah, very true.
Quite significant investment.
Yeah, there has been investment made. It's just been, nothing has worked. And it must be really frustrating to watch But I think we said a few weeks ago, like the attendances have really dropped off down in Kerry as well. I know, like,
easy to see why. Like, again, I suppose linking in with our own viewing experience over the last few years, Longford Town haven't had the best team that they've ever had in the last few years, but on very, very few occasions were you ever able to question the heart and the fight of the team.
Mm-hmm.
That was always there, and that's kind of kept the core support coming back, whereas it feels like now Kerry have they've really dwindled down to whatever their core is. They've lost the excess support there, I suppose, because people just feel they're not getting value for their money going out to watch that style of football, and it'd be difficult to disagree with them on that point at the minute.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and like it doesn't seem to be much hope.
No,
going around. And I think that's
I was worried by some of the body language I saw on Saturday night. Owen Bray finally showed up and played well. Should have beat Cork, who were poor. Will never complain about a point, especially after their equaliser. Need to keep that intensity and should be fine for the season. Treaty on Friday, a huge game for us ahead of Harps away on Monday. Dermot O'Leary, by how many points will Derry win the league this year?
Oh, stop. Don't annoy me.
Thomas Tormley, he picked up a tweet I had up. So I suppose for consistency, you raised the point. And again, even though you preempted your point last week by saying, I'm not saying that the Derry fans are shit or this isn't a jab at the Derry fans, but you did raise the point that there was very few of them in Tulka, wasn't it? The game you were talking about. And a few, of course, said, oh, here we go. The boys on BTS are picking on Derry again. But I think that was more we were talking about. There feels like maybe a lack of connection between the team and the fans at the moment. And I had heard there was going to be a huge Shamrock Rovers travelling support, and that didn't really seem to materialise for the game in Derry on Friday. So I just put out a tweet, you know, why was there such a small Shamrock Rovers travelling support? And, you know, a lot of not only Rovers fans, but a lot of fans of other clubs got back on to say that they simply will not travel to Derry due to incidents up there in recent years. And I kind of put out another tweet saying, you know, in this day and age, it's very, very disappointing for our league that there's, you know, a city like Derry, which is actually my favourite city in Ireland. I love going up there. I think it's a brilliant place, brilliant people. But the fact that it's an away game that some people don't feel is a viable option because of maybe security concerns, like in this day and age, that's not really good enough. But Thomas Tormey just got in touch to say that perhaps I had picked up the wrong end of the stick a little bit. That he said, if you look through the replies, there was three or four Rovers regular away day heads who mentioned that the action of the PSNI last year was a big reason why they didn't travel this time. And also a lot of bus companies simply will not travel to Derry.
That's mad, isn't it?
Mm. That's disappointing.
It is really disappointing. And
if it was any other club as well, you're looking at your away ticket sales taking a serious hit there, and you think it's something they'd want to be a bit more proactive about. But of course, Derry don't really have to worry about that side of things at the minute.
No, but like, I've never said like a Longford Town game, just I hope no fan or no opponent. Like, there's no, I never hope there's no travelling fans.
Yeah, it adds to it massively.
It adds to it massively. And, like, you know, your fans coming to your stadium, your home, you know, there's guests in your stadium. You want them to have a nice time or whatever. You hope they lose, obviously. But, like, it's a really bad look for Derry City.
Mm.
I know it's not just the club. Like, you know, no fan is driving into, like, inside the stadium or whatever. And, you know, I know it's all around the environs of the Bandywell that all the shite goes on. And, like, you have your own story from up in Derry. Wasn't that a League Cup final or something like that?
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, how much... I couldn't even count the number of times you hear about buses getting windows smashed and shit like that at a Derry game. Mm. It doesn't seem like much of a priority. But then on the flip side, you know, you have some complaints, as you mentioned there, I think it was a Shamrock Rovers fan that you said mentioned that not having a good experience at the PSNI.
Mm.
But what, like, if I was like running Derry City as a city, what would you do? You know, there's an obviously an element that, you know, likes abusing or, you know, causing damage and destruction to, you know, away fans' cars and buses and stuff like that. And there's rows and all sorts of shit going on. We had that thing with, wasn't it Bowes last year?
Yeah.
As well. And then you have, okay, we need to police this more. But then you're going to find, if there's more police there, like, you're going to find the arsehole policeman that's going to be an arsehole to you as well. It's a very tricky one to do. I'm not sure what the solution is. Like, I don't want to say, look, you just got to like pollute the place with police. But that's probably something that's going to have to happen in the short term.
Brings potentially its own problems as well. It's definitely, but it does. We're going to solve today.
No, I know that, but like, you know, if I, as purely an away fan, I, you know, going up to Derry, right? There's been nothing but shite over the last few years. You're not, you know, mad about having to go to this away game, but you decide to go. You probably would be a bit happier if there was extra police on the street. But that, I know that's difficult to do as well. So it's a real tough situation. And as you said, we're not going to solve it ever.
No.
But we're not definitely going to solve it now.
No, not this time of night. Just going back to our reaction thread from Friday night, we often throw this up after the games, just asking for people's immediate reaction to some of the results. So we'll go through some of them. Kevin Brett, Galway corner count in Waterford was outrageous, but the percentage of short ones taken when we were so dominant was shameful. We should have been at least three up at halftime and the game would have been over. Shocker to concede so late again. There's an awful amount of short corner shite these days, isn't there?
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know if it's, you know,
we see the boys on the telly doing this, we have to do it. Is that?
Yeah, and like, you know, our coaches are consuming too much other football to come up with ideas or whatever. I don't know what it is. Maybe we'll see a bit of that with the Irish women's team with Gary Cronin. Now the assistant coach will probably have.
Oh, his little routine,
he did quite well off them.
It did, yeah.
He was quite successful. I think
a lot of teams obviously weren't doing their homework. Obviously, it was the same routine every time. Man,
it was
post, back heel to the corner taker, cross it in and tap it in. Yeah.
But look, it came off like a. Who gives a shit how the goals are scored? But yeah, it's really frustrating. One thing. Actually, and maybe is this a point to it? The lad that's taking the corner, you know, we've often we're complaining about crosses in recent years, like some of the crossing is just not good enough. And you know, we have seen some good bits of stuff, and there's plenty of talented players in the division or both divisions. Is it because that the corner taker is unreliable at taking corners? Like he's bad at booting it into the box. So by percentage, if we do a bit of a routine, we can get a better chance of success.
I'm not sure. I mean, like, as I said, you're seeing an awful lot of short corner routines in other leagues around the world where the quality of player is obviously much higher. So look, I'd be very much a variety man. I like seeing a different routines, but
peg it into the box.
The one thing that kills me is 44th minute, 89th minute, you're playing a short corner. That's just a non-negotiable. that's unacceptable. Ronan, who played last week in the predictions league, he's got a comment here. Wexford were extremely comfortable tonight. Cove showed nothing at all. Probably the worst performance by any team I've seen this year. Wow. Adrian, great turnaround for the Drog. Shells bad at home again. They let us back into it. Woohoo. Dylan Short, Bowes scored at 7:44 and didn't turn up for the actual game at 7:45. That's probably the comment of the week. Alan Leahy is comfortable, one of the best players in the league. That links in what we were talking about at the very top of the show, which seems a long time ago now. Connor, I think that 96 minute equaliser was the least I've celebrated I've ever seen, and we were lucky Galway weren't three ahead at the half. We only woke up on the 70th minute mark after making the subs. Daly yet again showing he can't set up a team from the start. That's quite damning. We've got another one here. In terms of raw talent, this is from Thomas. In terms of raw talent and form, Keane Levy is the best player in the league by a country mile. He just expresses himself at any opportunity and works like a dog on and off the ball. It's such a breath of fresh air, a threat to the opposition, and an absolute joy to watch. And that got quite a good few likes as well. Connolly, Mr. Subbed off after 59 minutes. Mulroney is awful quiet tonight.
Who's that? Say that again.
Mr. Subbed off after 59 minutes. Mulroney is awful quiet tonight. Jake Mulroney.
Oh, right. Okay. What am I... What? Am I missing something here?
He had a bad night for Rovers.
All right, okay.
This is a Pats fan just getting this.
Apologies. Yeah, fair enough.
Ger O'Brien can't score and now can't defend. Other than that, Bo's having nothing to worry about. Ronan says, Carl Winchester, that's it. He's been impressive in the last few weeks, all right. And we've got another comment here from a very elaborate username. He says, shells are horrible looking.
Good to know.
And finally, we've got Simon Canning here. All in all, you'd have to think that there's no standout team this year. Shamrock Rovers are just average. Pats are hit and miss. Shells are poor enough. Bows are a clothes hanger, whatever that means. Derry are James McLean's. I'm not going to read that out, but Drogheda are a few. Yeah, he thinks everyone is shit, basically, aside from Dundalk, who he supports. So no surprises there.
Yeah, well, look, I'd probably subscribe to that idea as well to a degree. I think Shamrock Rovers, they're just going to win it again, and that'll just be that. Like,
unless obviously Pats have no Europe, so
yeah, that's true. They do have a less of a distraction, but. Like, Shamrock Rovers had left Europe now for a couple of years.
Mm.
It hasn't impacted them that negatively. They have a big squad. They have lots of talented players. Like, you know, I don't want to hear any shite about, like, excuse me, oh, so many games. Like, you know, I'm sure that'll come around soon enough and there'll be lots of bitching and moaning about the games that they have to play. But, you know, then... you know, leave Shamrock Rovers if you think it's too much for you, because they win a lot of stuff, so they're going to play more games. It's just as simple as that. It's not that deep. So yeah.
And right, our last two comments of the night come from Ethan. Will Jack Brady last a full season at Treaty, or will he die of exhaustion? And he also has a screen grab of some of Jessica Farry's tweets from the Sligo AGM tonight. It's very impressive. If you haven't checked that out, I'd recommend going over to her ex account and having a look at some of the notes from tonight. But he's just taking a screen grab of this one. It says budget for 2026, the Sligo Rovers budget is 2.9 million. A loss of 45,000 for 2025 was recorded. The treasurer says the club cannot continue to incur annual losses and the objective is to break even in 2026. I think most people have latched onto that tweet and they're all just saying, you know, it's remarkable a club like Sligo are essentially breaking even. So a lot of people are viewing that as a positive, but it sounds like within Sligo, people are saying this cannot continue. But this is a Sligo team that are expected to be fighting relegation this season. They're a supporters' own club, as we know, and their budget for this year is almost 3 million euro. And Ethan's just asking the question about the gap getting bigger and bigger and bigger between the Premier Division and the First Division.
Well, it certainly is. Like, you know, I don't know how any... Like, it's not going to be possible for most of the First Division to sustain themselves if they got promoted.
No.
You know, we've often joked, oh, for sure, if we just won the Euro Millions. Jesus, I'll tell you one thing, we wouldn't be long pissing it away if a team, you know, down the latter half of the Premier Division is you know, spending 3 million and not getting, you know, much in return for it, like on in respect to the table.
Mm.
I know we've been talking about it for years, but like the amount of money that's been lost
the top, the higher teams in the division is just astronomical. And like, you know, directors and chairmen writing loans that will never be paid back into, you know, directors' loans or whatever it goes on with. That's just not sustainable.
I suppose we've kind of touched on that before, and it's kind of evident, you know, that the gap is getting wider and wider and wider between even the bottom half of the Premier Division and the teams in the First Division. I suppose to just delve into Ethan's question there and extend it a bit further, like, what can the FAI do to try and bridge that gap? Should there be some sort of spending cap in the Premier Division? Do they just need to, I don't know, invest in the First Division in some way? I don't know what that looks like. Is there an answer? Is the European money just too great now? You know,
I think the European money is look, it's lucrative. It has to be lucrative.
Club's still recording losses even with that European money, though.
Yeah, true enough. But like, also, you're like, well, I can't not spend the money because if I don't get to it, I don't have that other money.
Yeah, spending to accumulate.
Yeah, like it's just, it is a difficult situation. I think part of the issue is that if you didn't spend the money, you wouldn't be in Europe, and that's also untenable for a lot of people within a club and the fans. So you have to try and mix it up as best you can. The other thing, I'm not sure about like a spending cap, but like the amount of losses that are being incurred is not sustainable. And
well, it is, as long as you have someone to write it off.
Yes. But like, as we said before about, you know, when everybody was bitching and moaning about the Dundalk situation, people are going on about like, oh, well, you know, the FAI are supposed to make sure that they have the money. It's like, I just transferred them. I had transfer 100 million into an account there. I print out the statement, lad. Send it off to the FAI. They're like, great. And then transferred 100 million back out. Like, you know, quite shite that used to go on during the recession in Anglo-Irish Bank and all that other stuff. Like, it's not hard. So, like, you know, and it's not like the FAI aren't, you know,
the FBI.
Yeah, but they're not accountants and like stuff like that. Like, it's not reasonable to expect a football association to be like doing significant deep dives into potential owners. That was never a runner, and it never made sense to me that people are bitching and moaning about the FBI when it came to Dundalk. But some type of rule has to be put in place, because next thing you know, there's a bunch of people there that get a pain in their hole and piss off and start looking for the money back. You know what I mean? We don't think that's going to generally happen with the current, some of the benefactors around the place. But who knows what will happen? And, you know, what if, let's say, I know the Fleetwood owner is having his own issues at the minute.
to say the least. We won't get into that.
But like, you know, what if a deeper problem arose there? You know, he's like, what, Waterford? Get that out of my face. And, you know, that's a separate problem. And I'm not saying that that's happening, but it's stuff can change and get hairy very quickly. But the point that would make me want to say, the FAI does need to take a serious interest in that, in the losses that are being incurred or that are being papered over by, you know, directors' loans or directors' input or whatever. We're just going to go back to a 20-year-ago situation where you don't know if a team is going to last the season.
Is this not how every league in the world essentially operates now, though?
I don't give a shit what people do. I really don't give a shit what other teams and countries and all the rest of it do. We have a responsibility with what's in front of us. Like, if Bayern Munich went to the wall tomorrow, I that's terrible. What's this, you know, I don't give a shit. Really. It'd be sad and all that, but like,
there's probably a full podcast on this if we got a few actual, you know, money people on here. But
well, we can read money. It's just that we're not reading the stuff. We're not preparing properly. Like
it's not my own money I'm reading anyway. But, exactly. Just my final point on this, because honestly, you could do a full podcast on this. Maybe it's something we might look into down the line, which means we'll never do it. But particularly at first division level, there is now a huge amount of money being spent on the academy and on the other teams outside of the men's first team. This is kind of a new enough phenomenon over probably the last 10, 15 years.
Right.
There has been an argument in some quarters that perhaps it shouldn't be mandatory to have an academy, to have a women's team. Now, maybe originally I would have been in that school of thinking, but I have seen too much positives around clubs, even long for the last couple of years. It's been, you know, a difficult couple of years. And I go out to the ground and see a lot of, I can see a lot of good from having those teams. So I'm not sure I fully buy into that. But at the same time, I don't know how clubs like Longford, like Treaty, like these other clubs are running multiple underage teams, multiple girls teams, and trying to fund then a competitive first team as well, while there's absolutely little to no income coming in via playing in the first division. So... yeah, I don't know. Is it going to eventually just be a survival of the fittest or the richest type thing where, look, if you can't sustain all these teams, then you're probably going to have to drop out of the League of Ireland and we'll have kind of 10 super clubs or 8 super clubs or whatever it may be. I don't know what way it's going, but probably is a tad worrying.
It is a tad worrying. Like, it's probably something that I don't really want to think about either. Us as fans as Longford Town, like, it is unbelievably difficult, and a lot of people do a lot of work to make it all add up. You know, but I think it's, and I probably would have been the same as you. I would have had that feeling years ago, but I think certainly from looking at it at a Longford Town perspective, there is a requirement to offer that, I don't want to call it a service, but like offer that outlet for the people of Longford.
Yeah, I fully
agree. And the young people of Longford. So that is just a cost of doing business. I'm not saying it's a cost or it's a bad thing or anything like that. I'm just saying that it comes with the territory of being a League of Ireland club in Ireland. And I think it's a very good thing. They do need more support. I know the government, the academy directors and all that stuff, but that's needs to be a starting point, because apart from it being a good thing for Longford Town in the long run, it's a good thing for the local community, the local people around Longford, that to have this outlet to send their children to. And yeah, so I think it needs more support. Not to say that the government should just fund everything all the time, no matter what, but I think this is a net positive in places like Longford, Athlone, and loads of places around the country. So, yeah.
Interesting stuff. I think that's where we'll leave it for this week. It is very, very late, very, very early now. But enjoyed that. That was the latest episode of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Make sure you subscribe. That really does help. So if you're listening on Apple or Spotify, hit subscribe or follow, whatever it is on the respective apps. That does give us a big help. Leave a review or a rating as well, which is also very helpful. So look, we appreciate everybody tuning in each and every week. 10 seasons on the go now. It's been a long slog, but look, we're still loving it, and hopefully you're enjoying it, listening to it every week as much as we enjoy making it. So from this week, from myself, Kieran Burke, from Gary Riley, from our sponsors Quinn AV and from Bar One Betting, thanks for tuning in. We've got a busy week next week with games on Friday and on the bank holiday Monday, so we will have undoubtedly a lot to talk about next week. But until then, thanks for tuning in.
Don't forget to subscribe wherever you're listening. You can also keep up to date with the latest League of Ireland news by following Between Stripes on X. Until next time, thanks for listening.